Coming up, you'll hear where the good and the bad is coming from in your life. Both wake up with you every morning, and they're bidding for your soul. One will produce the fruit of a good life, and the other will take you toward a bad fruit-bearing life. On this episode, you'll be equipped to win the battle and reap an abundant life of good. Stay tuned.
Life was bitter to the core. There was nothing to live for until love came.
My name is Harold J. Perkins, and at the age of 17, I was sitting in my house getting high with about 10 other guys. At the time, I didn't believe in God. Then all of a sudden, I had an out-of-body experience, and I was lifted above the room. I saw myself sitting in the chair. Then I heard, "Is this all you're going to do for the rest of your life?" After that, I got up and I put those guys out and I cried out to Jesus Christ. He came into my life with liberty and purpose. Then I ran into religion. And it has taken me over 40 years to navigate through religion to fully understand what came in me that day. This podcast is to help put you on a faster track than it took me to get through religion and experience life, liberty, and purpose on a higher level. So get ready. We're about to start a revolution. Again, welcome. I'm excited to continue talking about if you only knew. If you only knew how much you're loved by God, how merciful He really is to your unrighteous deeds of the flesh, you'll want to know Him better. And getting to know Him better will cause you to see Him be a God in your life, doing things that only a God can do. When I first started my walk with God, I didn't understand why I was seeing a different God in my life than I was hearing at church. I was struggling trying to change my way of living, and I was falling down from time to time. But God kept loving me and being merciful to me. He was answering my prayer when the church was telling me that if you're doing this or that, God will not answer your prayers, and you're not in the family of God. And even though I didn't understand why the preacher was saying that, in my heart, I knew different. I knew God was in my life, even though I still had a lot of bad habits in my life. And I heard the Spirit of God on the inside of me say, "Just keep coming after me." I didn't know at the time that my problems were from my flesh and unrenewed mind, but God did something that was going to change that, and it's a great example of His love and mercy. Here's what it is. He knew I wanted to play professional baseball, and I was doing everything that I could to try to make it happen, and nothing was happening. I went to Him in prayer, and He said, "If you'll seek me first, I'll add baseball." I said, "You got a deal." And at that time, I was still smoking marijuana, and it was illegal then. I was still having unmarital sex at the time. And He didn't say anything to me about those things. He just said, "Seek me first, and I'll add baseball." So I did. I started reading my Bible every day and praying. And about a year later, while I was at Cal State Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Dodgers drafted me in the 18th round. To show that it was God's doing, scouts were coming to look at our games all season. There were several players on our team that these scouts were coming to look at. But while they were coming to see these players, they saw me. And I was the only person on our team to get drafted. God honored what He said to me while I was still smoking illegal marijuana and still having unwedded sex. But He gave me the desires of my heart. Why? Because I believed Him. I didn't believe what I was hearing at church, that my actions will stop God from working in my life. If this is true, no one could become a child of God. Because when we received salvation, our lives were full of sin. We had sin in our hearts. What brought salvation was believing in Jesus in our heart in spite of all the sin that was in our lives. And the greatest miracle that we could ever receive happened right then. And sin was taken out of our hearts and replaced with the righteousness of God. We received the seed of God. So look at what God was doing with me when He said, "If I'll seek Him first, He'll add baseball." He knew His righteous seed was in me, but I gave it no water, which is His word, the Bible, and I gave it no sunshine of His presence in prayer. And my mind was not being renewed to a godly way of living. He knew without that, there was no way for me to change. And when He added baseball, I had a lot more time on my hands, so I would spend hours reading the Word and praying. And guess what happened? I stopped smoking marijuana, and my conscience would not let me continue to sleep with my girlfriend, so we got married. The process of water and sunshine of God's seed in me getting what it needed enabled me to be faithful to one woman for about 30 years. That's what the water and the sunshine of the Word did. Now, at that time, I did not understand what I covered with you on the last two episodes, and I didn't understand the things that I'm going to say to you going forward, that there is no law, and therefore our spirit cannot sin, and that in the seed of God I received, there is no sin in it. Therefore, from my spirit, I cannot produce sin because the seed can only produce after its kind. If God's seed that we receive has no sin in it, it can't produce sin. If it can, God violated the principle that he said in the beginning that a seed would only produce after its kind. And God never violates his principles. The only thing that can sin is our bodies. And our bodies are not us. It is the house that we live in. Now, let me prove to you that our bodies cannot be us now that we are in Christ. Listen to this verse in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Notice it says there is no good thing in my flesh. So if I'm in Christ and Christ is good and there's no good in my flesh, then that would have to mean that my flesh is not in Christ and I am not in my flesh. I have a body that I live in, but it is not me. Notice again that it said that there is no good thing in the flesh. If there's no good thing in it, it cannot produce good fruit because a seed can only produce after its kind. This is why we are told to crucify it. Now let's see the fruit of the flesh a little bit further. I'm in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh, and we could say it this way. Now the fruit of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I've talked about this in other episodes, that is telling you that if you're allowing your flesh to do these things, you're going to miss out on some of the inheritance that God has for you. But I want you to notice that this is fruit of the flesh. Here is the fruit that the flesh produces. Notice there's nothing good here. Just like Romans 7:18 said. Now, let's look at the fruit of our born again spirit to see if it can produce any bad. Or is it only good coming from this born-again spirit? I'm in Galatians, a little further down, verses 22 and 23, chapter 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, now it's a capital S, which is talking about the Holy Spirit, but as I covered before, there is nothing in Holy Spirit that is not in Jesus. There is nothing in Jesus that is not in the Father, because they're all one. So we receive the Spirit of Christ. So if we receive the Spirit of Christ, the same thing that's in the Holy Spirit is in us. Now listen to the verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now let's notice something here. There's no bad coming there. All we see is good. Why? Because no bad is in the seed of God we received. Now, you got to know why this is important to understand. You can only receive the benefits of the kingdom of God by faith, by believing. And the benefits of the kingdom cover everything good in life that you would want. If Satan can stop you from believing God, he can stop the kingdom of God from manifesting in your life. He can stop financial blessings, health and healing blessings, blessings on your families, on your jobs and careers. And his number one way to stop you from believing is to get you condemned about something that you did or didn't do. And I just showed you that only good is in you now that you are in Christ. You, the spirit man or woman, can only produce good. The bad is coming from your flesh that your unrenewed mind is linked up to. And if you don't let that condemn you, you will see the benefits of the kingdom of God show up. Now, it's important that you don't just take the attitude, well, my body is not me, so I'm going to let it do what it wants to do. No, the body controlling your life will lead to death. It will produce bad fruit. And maybe it's pleasurable for a moment, but the end is death. It's not God that brings death, it's Satan. God will be merciful to help you as you go through the process of getting your flesh under the control of your spirit. But here is the key to receiving God's mercy in the process. Listen to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. You see, God is on the inside of you, and that's how he writes on your heart and on your mind, which is why you don't need a written law. He's in there to write what he wants you to do. And as you listen for him from within, he will write on your heart what he wants you to do at that time. Remember, God said to me, seek him, and he would add baseball. He said nothing to me at the time about stop smoking marijuana, nor did he say anything to me about unmarital sex. And I did what he was writing on my heart at the time, and he was merciful to me about the other things I was doing. Now, eventually, he got to me about smoking marijuana and about having sex without being married, and I stopped. God is in you. Listen to what he is saying to you from within at the time. But there is a battle going on within your born-again spirit and your flesh. The one that will win is the one that has your mind. If you're not taking time to renew your mind to what is now in your spirit, your flesh will win. Let's look at the battle described in the Word of God. I'm in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. Here's what it says. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. I'm going to stop for a moment. Notice it says that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under man. See, Adam, when Adam sinned, he sold us out to carnality. And therefore, if the law was spiritual and we were carnal, we couldn't even keep the law. Only Jesus could have kept the law, and he did on our behalf because we weren't capable, because we were sold under carnality, just like the verse I just read said. Let's continue. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I don't do. But what I hate, that I do. Now, I'm going to read here and show you that this is a description of the battle of the born-again believer with his flesh. Okay, I'm going to start over again at verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. But what I would, that I don't do. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Now that sounds almost like a contradiction till we get to the next verse. Verse 18, for I know that is in me, and this is what he puts in parentheses here, that is in my flesh. Okay, so the good he's talking about, that's no good in him. He's talking about the flesh. Says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I don't do. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. And we know the me he's talking about here is the flesh, because he clarified it in the previous verse. So he's saying, again, verse 20, now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I, the spirit man, that does it, but sin that dwells in my flesh. Verse 21, for I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, I'm going to stop for a minute. There is proof right there that he's talking about the battle between the flesh and a spirit man that has been changed on the inside. And the reason for that is this. Verse 22 says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the spirit man. Before a person is born again, they do not delight in the law because they're carnal. As we read the first verse, they don't delight. They don't have a delight to serve God and to keep his law. This is talk about the battle between a man that has been born again and his flesh. Verse 22 again. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, in my body, it's saying, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, body again. Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Notice it says the body of this death. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now he's going to give you the answer. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. See, if the flesh, he says here that, so then with the mind, I serve the law of God. So if my mind is in line with my spirit, is been renewed, then I'm going to serve God. But if it's in line with my flesh, then I'm going to serve my flesh. Now, if I will renew my mind to what's now in my spirit, I will reap a life of love, joy, peace, faith, goodness, meekness, gentleness, long-suffering, and temperance, because this is all that is within my spirit. I may fall down in going through the process of renewing my mind, but every time I'm to jump up as if I've never fell down and continue as if I've already got the victory, because I do. Jesus has already won for me, and if I keep getting up as though I have the victory already, victory will show up. I remember when I was playing professional baseball and the spirit of lust was on my flesh heavy. I was fighting it with the word of God and even got a friend of mine who was a believer to pray with me about it. To show you the devil's persistence to hold you in the flesh, my friend and I had just got off of our knees praying one day when I asked him to pray with me about this lust. When we were done praying, I went to get me something to eat. While I was waiting on my food, I was sitting there reading a book. Then I got the thought, look up. When I did, I saw a lady leaving the fast food place as the door was closing when she went out. The wind of the door hit her skirt and blew it wide open, and she had no panties on. Just like that. Now, I share that to show you that the devil comes immediately to try to keep you in bondage to the flesh. Over time, I got the victory over that, but it took a determination to renew my mind and use the power that God put in me to overcome any challenge. There is nothing that can hold us from the high life that God has for us. But we've got to line our minds up to God's way and begin to think like him. I covered on the last episode that the Bible tells us to have the same mind that Jesus had, to be one with God. Why would I settle for a life dominated by my flesh when I can reign like God on earth? We were created to reign on earth. And all that we have to do is learn about who we really are now that we are in Christ. And we will show the world what God looks like. And above everything else, he looks like love. A love that is unlike anything in this world. A love that comes down from heaven to take on a body and die for his creation that he made in his image after they had lost their way and bring them back to himself as if they had never sinned, making them one with him again and giving them dominion on earth to reign on earth as he does in heaven. Wow. So, after all this, do we play church after this or rise up to be who we were created to be? It's your choice. There's more of this to come in episodes ahead. Let me say right here, if you don't know our living Savior, Jesus Christ, you can get to know him now. Pray this prayer with me. Say, God, I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. Jesus, I accept you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live this life. Thank you. That's it. It's that simple. If you believe what you just prayed, he has come in. Start reading the Bible for yourself. You can start in the book of St. John and in the book of Romans, and God will begin to show you his purpose for your life, and he'll begin to show himself unto you. Okay, we'll see you on the next episode.